Welcome to the first Nanamic webinar. Many of us have been involved in preparing students for GCSE maths research, only to find that the majority, 70 to 75%, fail to achieve the required grade 4. We are pleased to be able to invite Stella and Martin of MEI to present on a proposed alternative curriculum. Welcome to you, Stella.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Ah, good. I wasn't sure whether I was muted or not. Yes, thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you to everybody for turning up. I've got a PowerPoint here which I'll send to John.
No, I don't want to be in the video. I want to hear it, but not.
But I'm sure he'll try and share the PowerPoint if that's possible as well. So if there's sort of stuff on the slides that you think, oh, I just want another closer look at that, then you will be able to do that. And if for some reason it turns out that it's difficult to share it for John to share it via the Nanamic website, then you can always email me and get it. So I'll start by setting the scene. Now, of course, a lot of this you'll be familiar with, but just to give the sort of full picture, a lot of this started with the Wolf Report, which found that actually for students who are looking to get qualifications that are useful to them in their future working lives, GCSE Maths and English are the most useful qualifications they can have in terms of the number of opportunities that then become open to them. So that then led to a change in national policy that everybody that hadn't already got their GCSE maths and English at currently grade 4 or higher should carry on working towards getting those. But the success rate isn't very high for RESIT. So we got some funding from the Nuffield Foundation to work on a project that was looking at an alternative. So this is about a sort of outline of what we found during that project. And of course, things changed. So during the course of the project, things changed. Functional skills qualifications have been reformed. And also, if students have got a grade 2 at the end of Key Stage 4 or below, they can aim to work towards a level 2 in maths by the functional skills route rather than GCSE. So one of the things that then happened was that people started asking us, well, now that these changes have come about in functional skills, should we, you know, is it kind of job done? Are we wasting our times doing this project? Is it the case that actually functional skills does the job? So that became one of the things we looked at as part of the project as well. And we thought that probably there was still room for what we were doing because amongst other things that we looked at, there was towards the end of our project last year, there was an article in FE Week that essentially said that even for students that could be doing functional skills, often colleges preferred the GCSE route for two reasons, that it's got greater recognition than functional skills, and also it's easier for students to show progress by doing GCSE, because if you've got a grade 2 and then you get a grade 3, then that's clearly progress and everybody understands that. Okay, so what about students who do manage to progress to level 2? Well, there's different ways of looking at this, and of course we looked at them. Firstly, looking at students who are aged 17 or over doing GCSE maths in the summer. Now, that isn't all GCSE RESIT students, because some of them have done it in November, and some of these students are actually adult students as opposed to students resitting GCSE, so it's not a complete picture, but you can see that on the left-hand graph, the candidates graph, which is the higher graph, it zoomed up after the Wolf Report. And the candidates who are actually getting a grade C or a grade 4, well, that went up as well, but slower. And then it kind of leveled off, really. So the overall percentage of students who are over 17 or over taking GCSE maths each summer who actually manage to get a C or a 4 or above is round about 20-some%. Another way of looking at progress is the DfE data on the whole cohort of students from a particular year group, and the percentages that make positive progress year on year, and the percentages that achieve a grade 4 or equivalent or above. And roughly a third make some positive progress. And the interesting thing to me when I looked at these is that actually there's fewer getting the grade 4 or equivalent in maths compared to what there is in English, and it's less than 20%. So most students aren't getting what they might be thought of as aiming at, perhaps. We looked at how progress is measured, and you'll probably be more familiar with this than I was to start with. It's calculated for individual students that are in scope for the GCSE progress. They can make positive or negative progress, but you can't make lower progress than minus one. So a student who doesn't take any qualifications automatically gets progress of minus one. And there are tables that show what things are equivalent, and I've stripped out all the stuff to do with English and the qualifications that don't exist anymore. And the tables that have existed so far are on the left. And it's difficult for students to make positive progress by taking functional skills, because if they start with a grade 3, then if they pass level 2 functional skills, they've made zero progress, and if they do anything else, then they've made less than zero progress. For students with a grade 2, even passing level 1 functional skills isn't as good as zero progress, it's negative progress. That is going to change for future performance tables. I mean, there won't be any in 2020 now, but from 2021, I guess, sort of essentially functional skills has kind of moved up a bit. But it's still difficult for students to make progress via that route because it's pass or fail. You know, there's no sort of grades in functional skills. So it's still difficult, but it may well be that for some students functional skills is the best thing for them, and you know, we're not trying to knock functional skills. The thing that really struck me was one of the research reports we looked at that analysed DfE data, because the DfE do also publish data by prior attainment and look at how many students made positive progress and how many students made negative progress and how many students stayed the same in each banding. Well, this report analysed it further, and they also looked at, for the negative progress, how many of them make negative progress on account of they haven't taken anything, and how many make negative progress on account of they actually have taken qualifications, but they've got a lower point score by the end of 16 to 18 than they had at the end of Key Stage 4. And the thing that struck me was that overall, the biggest bar is the pink bar, and that's the students that have improved, which is great. And for students that had a grade D, and this was in the days when the grades were letter grades, again, the highest bar is those that have improved, which is great. But once you start looking at students with a grade E, F or G, the highest bar is the students that lowered their point score for grade E, and for students who got an F or a G, well, yeah, more of them do better. And once you get to U, well, they tend to do better as long as they take a qualification, because you can't really do any worse than not getting a grade at all. But it struck me that for students who have got below a D, the most likely thing is that they're not going to do any better and they might well do worse. And I thought, well, this isn't working for those students. So we looked at developing an alternative. And the first thought we had is, well, it should be something like core maths, but at level 2. And then we thought a bit more, and we thought, well, the thing is, for core maths students, they have got some understanding from GCSE that we can build on. But for GCSE recit students, they've got at best a patchy understanding of the maths that they've been learning. And there are two things that are important. It's important they get some kind of qualification that's going to be useful to them. And it's also important that they can use maths in a range of contexts that they're reasonably likely to come across. So we sort of concentrated on thinking about, well, what sort of maths is going to be useful for them? What do they actually need to be able to do? So we looked at different qualifications. We looked at the stuff that National Numeracy have put out, and we thought, well, what kinds of things should these students be able to do in their adult lives that involve some maths? And we organised them under four themes: financial understanding, working with measures and shape, planning activities, and understanding quantitative information. And then we looked at the GCSE foundation tier curriculum, and we thought, well, what maths is there that is useful for each of those areas? And we had specific examples of the kinds of things that students ought to be able to do. And we also included some new content, particularly for financial maths, including some simple use of spreadsheets. But we didn't include a lot of extra content because for a lot of students, it's a one-year course, and a lot of the focus is going to be on helping them to understand the things that they haven't quite understood already. And there really isn't time to introduce a lot of new content. So based on foundation tier, a lot of the content in foundation tier that doesn't support these particular kinds of skills that people need to be able to do has gone in our proposal, and there is a small amount of new content. We wrote some example papers, and the design we have is three papers. A paper one, which is multiple choice and diagnostic, so the wrong answers are based on misconceptions that students can have, so that you can get reporting back to teachers and lecturers of what the students do understand and what they don't understand. And the idea of that first paper is that it's diagnostic, but also a stepping stone that's part of the qualification. So it's intended to be done early. They get some credit for doing it, and it counts towards their final grade. And it only counts 20%. So it's sort of, people have said, yes, it's a modular qualification. Well, it kind of is, but it's a sort of modular light, if you like. It's 20% modular, and the rest of it is at the end of the course. Two papers at the end of the course, calculator and non-calculator, similar to GCSE, but all the questions on those papers are set in realistic contexts. And the two papers are 1.5 hours long for two reasons. Firstly, because quite a large proportion of students who are doing a resit may need extra time. And we thought, well, if students need double time, well, 3 hours is really the maximum that anybody should be sitting in an exam. I've never been in an exam for longer than that. And just two papers at the end of the course, because just for students who are nervous about maths and not confident, just to keep going to maths exams is a big ask. And for students who are working or need childcare, again, it's difficult for them to do more than two papers. That I think I've already said. Oh, except one thing that I didn't mention is that paper one possibly could be online, because that would then allow the use of some kind of interactive questions involving use of spreadsheets and so on. But it could also be paper-based if that turns out to be more workable to people. We asked No More Marking, who are the experts in comparative judgment, to look at our papers and compare them with some GCSE papers. I think it was the 2018 GCSE papers. It will actually say in the report. And also, AQA allowed us to use their functional skills level 2 sample papers. So they were included in the mix as well. And what this chart is, it's mean difficulty and it's confidence intervals. So the bars are essentially wider if it's a shorter paper. Our paper one's right there at the bottom because it's deliberately intended to be easier. Then you've got everybody else's foundation tier papers and our papers 2 and 3. And sort of then stepping up from there, it's all the higher tier papers. And the interesting thing to me at first was where the functional skills comes. The very long bar in the lower range is functional skills paper one for AQA, which is a sort of the non-calculator paper. But paper two, which is the calculator paper with more questions in context, is at the top of the range, up there with higher tier, which kind of surprises me. Because I thought, well, I was kind of expecting functional skills level two to be a stepping stone to GCSE, because that's kind of what it's billed as sometimes. But it is a level two qualification, whereas GCSE is levels one and two. So I thought, actually, yes, it is kind of harder than GCSE foundation tier. So I stopped being surprised then when I really thought about it. Our recommendations, well, our main recommendation is that there should be a new GCSE for post 16 students that's focused on the maths needed for everyday life and work. And it should be a GCSE because employers recognise what GCSE is. And so for recognisability, it has to be a GCSE. The context, we thought that actually foundation tier is all that's needed, because if a student is is aiming at grade 6, 7 or 8, there's a higher tier GCSE that they can do already. And actually in November, when it's receipt only, very few students do it. Because the paper one is easier than GCSE foundation tier, well, we thought, well, should we make it harder to make it equal to GCSE, or should we leave it as it is? And we thought, well, actually, it's a diagnostic early paper, so it's appropriate for it to be easier. And it would do no harm for the grade boundaries to go higher in this particular qualification than they are currently in GCSE foundation tier. The paper one, as I've already said, should be a stepping stone element. It should attract some progress measure points, so that with the stepping stone being part of the qualification, it's kind of a more coherent route perhaps than trying to use a stepping stone that is external to the qualification. The content is based on GCSE foundation tier, but it doesn't include all the content. It just includes the stuff that is important for the applications that we want students to be able to do. It is for post 16 only. There are some post 16 students who are doing fine with the current GCSE, and there's no reason why they shouldn't continue to do that. Some students are making good progress by working through functional skills qualifications, and that's absolutely fine. It's an extra thing that we're proposing. It's not instead of what already exists. And well, some people have asked, well, what happens next? Well, that kind of depends on government policy. At the time when we produced the report, government were very much focused on, well, we've just allowed students to take functional skills instead. Let's see how that goes. Well, and since then, various other things have happened nationally that I think they aren't particularly focused on what to do with GCSE receipt just now. So I guess we'll see eventually what, if anything, happens. But we are continuing to talk to various people about this. So if you want to know more, the executive summary, the full report, the example papers and some teaching resources are all there on the MEI website. And, you know, do have a look at them if you'd like to. And I can see that there's some questions in the chat box, and Martin's been helpfully managing the questions in the chat box and designating some for me to deal with now. So I'll deal with the ones that he's flagged up for me. So there was a question about, is it fair to use diagnostic scores as part of a final qualification? They can resit the first paper. So if they sit it once and they don't do very well at it, they can resit it again and use the second mark as part of the qualification. Another question, if they pass the first part but fail the final exam, would they have to resit the whole thing or just the final exam? That's a very good question that we haven't considered yet. I mean, in my head, it was kind of thinking as the first paper as being like coursework, but it's an exam. And certainly with coursework, the usual rule has been that you can carry it forward. So personally, I see no reason why if they've done well on paper one and they're happy with their mark there, but don't do well at papers two and three, why they couldn't just then carry that forward. But that's going to depend on quite how the national regulations work. A couple of other questions. If they're less difficult than the current GCSE, isn't there a risk that it won't be seen as equivalent? Yes, there is. I think it depends what you mean by equivalent, because I mean at present for the GCSE English, one of the ways they kind of gain, if you like, is that GCSE English language and GCSE English literature, either of them will do. So they're kind of seen as equivalent. Is GCSE maths equivalent to GCSE history? Well, it is in the sense that it's a GCSE. So that's where the equivalence is, that it's a GCSE, it's the same grading system. When can they resit the first paper? Well, I mean, that would have to be, it depends partly as to whether that's online. If it's online, you can have more opportunities. If it's paper-based and they have to be printed, then I guess there would be fewer opportunities. And again, that would be a thing that would be sorted out if this actually became a live qualification that existed as opposed to something we've designed. I think that's all the questions. Yeah, no, yes, that's right. Yeah, Martin's right there. It's got the same grades as foundation tier GCSE. So grades 1 to 5 are available because that's how GCSE works. Think I've dealt with all the questions that were there. So if I've missed anything, please type it in again or say there's a question a bit up that you haven't dealt with.